Blog Talk Radio. Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host, and we also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, April the 22nd, 2015. And their call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. We're actually in day 6 of a 9-day intensive, and it's been going awesomely well. Energy's high, and we began doing the energy field work today, and then tomorrow we're going to breathe. So it's all exciting, and so welcome, Michael.
If he's there, I can't.
Thank you, dear heart.
There he is.
I'm here. Mute challenged. Someone sent me a Facebook message that sat on top of my mute button. Anyway, we welcome you all. Thank you for joining us. It's a delight to have you here. An honor to be doing the work that we're doing. And we did just finish doing the energy field work practice. And I went down and got a plate of food. And Sarah's bringing one for Jeannie. She'll be here in a minute with it. She was making one up. Time was running short by the time we finished the energy field practice. So we're just rocking along here. We've got an awesome group and lots of energy moving. We're privileged to get to do what we do and to be working with the folks that are here. We've got a relatively small group, but powerful, powerful energy moving. And the insights that are coming, people noticing long-term pains, physical, emotional, that are disappearing, that are being processed and moved out, and it's just fabulous. And the work that we're about, you know, an intensive like this one, actually covers a series of different workshops. We're doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again, which is a first century Aramaic forgiveness process, healing through relationships, empowered to heal, communication, did you hear what I think I said, purpose, personal power, and commitment, hands-on energy field work, mind shifters, still point breathing. So we're doing a whole range of things, and we're doing this on a totally fresh and raw dietary regimen. I've got a plate of food sitting over here that's just awesome. The colors, the vibrancy of the food is amazing. We had a young man that has been experiencing kidney pain for some time in his life, and as we started to do the energy field work, he all of a sudden had this excruciating pain in his back and felt like he needed to sit down because his head was getting woozy, and all of a sudden he's nauseous. And 20 minutes later, he's back up on his feet, ready to rock and roll. It's amazing in a space where there's a lot of support and a lot of love, a lot of the presence of being, how quickly we can move through things. It's just awesome. And so pretty cool to watch those flashes of things that if they were diseases would be going on for hours, days, weeks, months, perhaps years. And 20 minutes, somebody's through and out the other side. And, of course, that's not a set of skills that the world will teach you. The world would rather treat you and sell you drugs for life than show you how to heal yourself. And so we're here to support that process of everyone understanding exactly how their energy system works. You know, it's interesting. We have each one of us in our possession probably the most complex device in the universe, our minds. And we're just expected to know how to run them. We're not given instruction. We're not given support for understanding how the thing works. It's filled with information by all kinds of people who don't know how to run their own minds, who function out of all sorts of hostility or fear, and wonder why in their lives they get that hostility and fear back. And what we're looking to do is to support the understanding of precisely how this mind works, precisely what the laws are by which it operates. And the word law in the ancient Aramaic has nothing to do with somebody's set of rules. It's just how the thing works. You know, if I asked you, could you know how to bake a cake? And you said yes. I said, well, teach me cake. And you said, well, Michael, I can't teach you cake. Yes, I want you to teach me cake. I can't teach you cake. Well, why not? Because I've got a recipe, and I can give you the recipe for how to make cake. I can show you how cake happens, but I can't teach you cake. Well, it's precisely the same with law. You know, the authorities of the world, the kings of the world, make up rules. They falsely call them laws. Our legislatures falsely call what they pass laws, whether it's state or federal. They pass rules and regulations, ordinances, nothing to do with law. You'll notice if you look at those things that men call laws, they're mostly rules and regulations which try to force others into certain behaviors and to control others. And unfortunately, what is taught in the world is the recipe for creating insanity, and then laws, quote-unquote, rules and regulations are passed to prohibit insanity, and then somebody makes a fortune when people unfold insanity. Instead of taking these kids that are going into school and teaching them how their minds operate, laws, actually how it works, and then setting people off to do their lives, knowing how to guide their lives and how to create their lives, we teach the recipe for insanity. What's a recipe for insanity? Well, you know, be a power person that goes into rage when a child makes a mistake. Be a power person that was told how bad they were when they were small, and watch how that power person passes on the tradition by telling their children how bad they are. That's the recipe for insanity. And the world does that, and then it tries to stop people from doing behaviors based in that insanity. And they call those laws. Nothing to do with law, men's rules and regulations. They make a fortune for people. Real law is just how it works. And that's what we're working with in our intensives. We're not going to sit down and say, okay, here are the rules you have to follow. There's no rule maker that says you have to follow his rules, as many churches would teach you. And if you don't, then you're going to be punished. There are eternal forces, which, if you're acquainted with them, your life will go well. If you are not acquainted with them, you will probably bump into them, bruise yourself, break yourself, and wonder why you're being punished. There's no punisher. You know, one of the best examples of it is a law that pretty much everybody has some awareness of, and it's called the law of gravity. You'll notice that gravity doesn't care what you do. If you step off a cliff, then you fall down. You don't have a choice about that. It doesn't matter whether you like gravity or not. You can't say, well, you know, I don't like the law of gravity, therefore I'm not going to obey it. And tomorrow morning, I want my feet to go up to the ceiling instead of the floor when I wake up. You don't have any choice about that law or any other law. It's just how the eternal forces in the universe work. You don't fly an airplane by violating the laws of gravity. You fly an airplane by knowing how gravity works and building a machine that works within the laws of gravity. You don't build wonderful relationships by violating the laws of relationships or forcing somebody else to do something in relationship. You build wonderful relationships by knowing the laws of relationships. How does it work? You don't have a human life by following somebody else's rules. You have a human life by living as the active presence of love and knowing how to maintain that active presence of love in your mind and your body as you pass through your world. There are laws for that. There is an understanding of how to produce those results, but you can't teach the result to somebody. You can only teach them the recipe. And sadly, the recipe that's taught in the world is a recipe for rage, for guilt, for grief, for sadness, for fear, for hatred, for vengeance, so often. And then people wonder why those things unfold. And they become, quote, lawbreakers. And they get hauled into a legal system that makes a fortune for the attorneys, makes a fortune for the prosecutor, makes a fortune for the judge and the jailer. And it's a pretty cool system if you're on that side of it, and that's where you're making your money. But once you understand how the human emotional system, how the human body, how the human mind works, then you start to harmonize with how it works. Gee, I understand how to harmonize with the law of gravity. I built an airplane. How cool is that? I harmonize with the laws of my mind, my structure, my emotions. I build, because I know how it works, a delightful, wonderful life. I fly. And so that's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to bring understanding to. So is Dr. Tim with us today, Jeannie? Well, let's say hello to the young man and see what's exciting, how the experience with Dale Allen Hoffman is unfolding. We're actually blessed in that Dale's going to come and spend the last day or two of teacher training with us. So that's going to be pretty cool. How's it going, Dr. Tim? How'd the support group go last night with question and answers with Dale? I wish I'd been a fly on the wall.
Well, I think it went beautifully well. We had 25 people there plus Dale. And maybe 26, I don't know. It's hard to keep myself focused on numbers. Dale gave a wonderful talk about temptation, about the three temptations of Christ that were listed in the Gospel of Luke and Matthew, and gave some of the deeper meaning of this spiritual concept. And, of course, it's all about everything being an inside job. There isn't an outside force tempting us. And he gave a wonderful explanation of the word from the ancient Aramaic, satana, which means a being cut off from itself, which has been translated into meaning Satan, an outside spirit demon that ruins our lives or takes us away from God. And he made it very clear that has never happened and can never happen. And he quoted from some of the scriptures from King James and other versions of the Bible, and then let us know that in the ancient Aramaic it had pretty much a 180-degree different meaning and interpretation. And so it was, from my experience, a very powerful evening. We ran a little bit late, but anybody who needed to leave did, and people stayed. And we had wonderful group members who brought some food and helped set up and helped clean up. And it's just a fabulous experience being part of that community and the support group. I put out a blog post yesterday thanking those people, and words don't really do justice to it. Dale left this morning early to drive all the way back to North Carolina. So he drove the 12 and a half hours in one direction just to be here for 3 days, and is driving 12 and a half hours back just to share this work with us. So he has a very similar level of commitment to this work that you and Jeannie do. And he, you know, let people know that you're the one who introduced him to this work, and you remain one of his primary teachers. And he talked about how the forgiveness work that you've distilled from Yeshua's work in the ancient Aramaic is still the most direct and powerful and effective tool he's found for restoring himself to his awareness of his true nature and getting rid of those bushel baskets that hide the light. And so he sang your praises and the praises of the work, and he helped people get a slightly different perspective on all the stuff they've been conditioned to believe. And with luck, we'll have an audio of it tomorrow, and in a couple of weeks we'll have the video edited from Sunday and last night. He videotaped himself in both settings. So I found it quite delightful. And there aren't really words beyond that. If you get a chance to see him in person, or if you want to go to his website at DaleAllenHoffman.com and check out, he's got a toning, chanting, vibrational retreat weekend coming up. I think it's the 22nd or 24th, and he has a couple spots open. He was just letting us know that last night. He only has a couple spots left, but it's in one of the most magical places he's ever discovered in North Carolina, and it's a place he's done a lot of these things before, and he highly recommends it. And I saw some pictures of the place, and you can see his stuff on his website and on his Facebook page. If you're anywhere in that area and you have any interest in tapping into a whole different level of the experience of yourself, facilitated by someone who's a master at it, take advantage of that. DaleAllenHoffman.com.
That's awesome. Yeah, we've actually been there with him. Oh, I'm picking up an echo through your phone there, Michael. Anyway, we've been with him at the same facility, and it is an awesome space to be. So 646-200-4169 is our call-in number. If you're on the switchboard, press 1, and that puts you in queue. Michael, are you back with us?
I am, yes. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Great. So do we have anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up? Well, we're waiting for somebody. I know somebody's out there with a question. We're waiting for somebody to put their hand up. We'll put the announcement out that on Saturday evening, we actually start into a 12-day teacher training program. And anyone who has already done the 9-day, why is this happening to me again, is qualified to go into the teacher training. So if there's anybody out there that wants to take your work to the next level and come and join us for teacher training, we're going to start out and do 3 days of training on the personal code evaluation, how to use it and work with it. And we now have that available digitally. And then we'll also we'll move into a 9-day teacher training. In the last couple of days of teacher training, Dale is going to be with us. So we're going to have the privilege and the pleasure of getting to, actually we're planning to video a workshop called Aramaicism. So the teachers in teacher training will get a chance to experience that. And we'll see just what else unfolds. But we're delighted and honored that Dale's going to be joining us to do that. And so anything you're seeing in practice today, Tim, that's particularly relevant to the conversation?
Well, I guess the biggest thing that's come up so far today is that people feel so badly about themselves. I found myself yesterday and today saying this to several people. One of the things that I offer people, I'm not the expert in what people have to do to change the problems in their life or solve them, but having done therapy for more than 40 years, sitting in rooms with people where they tell me things they wouldn't tell anybody else in their life, I've got a pretty big database about what really goes on in people's public and private and intimate lives. And one of the things I offer people is to share the knowledge from that database and help them figure out if they're anywhere within the range of normal, which of course most of us are. But one of the things that came up in the past couple of days is I found myself again telling people, look, when I look at you, here's what I see: an intelligent, competent, attractive, caring person. And yet what you're describing to me that you see and feel about yourself is worthless, broken, stuck, angry, failure, ugly, etc. And that's the biggest theme. That's, to me, this was part of what was coming out in Dale's talk last night, is what the teachings are from all the major religions, what was understood from the ancient Aramaic language, is that you are the stuff of creation. You are the energy of the One. You are this energy we call love. And yet, we have managed to develop cultures which leave most of us feeling very, very, very differently about ourselves. And that brings to mind the line from the book Tuesdays with Maury, where Maury was dying of ALS, and he's talking to his younger student who was helping him write this last book. And he said to Mitch, if you live in a culture that doesn't leave you feeling good about yourself, you must create your own culture. So that's the theme. I mean, some people, if I could share with you and the listening audience the qualities, the stellar intelligence and competence and caring nature of the people who've been in through my office in just the past 3 or 4 days, who feel horrible about themselves, it's shocking, unless, of course, you understand that that's what we're living in. We're living in a culture that's designed to make us feel that we lack something and that we're damaged and broken and that we have to reach out to the material world and the powers that be to feel better or to somehow get complete. So that's my theme for today.
Well, I certainly agree with you. What our culture has done to people, and sadly, in particular, our religious cultures have taken people to the opposite extreme of experiencing themselves as love and defining themselves as love, and force them to define themselves as something absolutely insane, and calls that the first step to, you know, making progress. And I've read some of that book of Tuesdays with Maury. It's pretty cool. And when I hear Maury saying, you know, you have to create your own culture, reinventing the wheel is a huge piece. And I doubt that there are very, very many people with the intelligence or the dedication to actually recreate their culture in a way that really is going to work. I think that a whole lot easier way is going to be to find a sane culture and connect with it. Find a culture where there are tools to undo the things that don't belong in you, that your culture has structured into you, and use those and gather support and, you know, experience yourself as this awesome active presence of love that you're designed to do. And you'll probably come out a lot further ahead than trying to reinvent the wheel. The wheel has been invented. You know, the tools are there. And I, for one, feel so blessed to have gotten to connect with the first century Aramaic Yeshua and his teachings to be able to understand that there are tools with which we can recreate our lives and move into true human beings rather than the inhuman messages that have been given to us. So it's an awesome opportunity for sure. Well, any other thoughts in that regard, Dr. Tim?
Only that I would agree, and that I experience each and every week that result we're talking about in the support groups.
Yes.
And I highly recommend to people gathering, even if it's just one or two other people, gathering with others and applying these tools to the upsets, the sadness, the fears, the angers in your life, and watch the result. It goes beyond words in a heartbeat. The loving atmosphere, the loving energy, the loving community that gets generated when people get together to use these tools makes it all worthwhile.
Jeannie tells me that we've got a caller. I think it's Julie in Ashland, Oregon. Is that you, young lady?
Now it is, yes.
Oh, good. How do you be? What's up in your world?
Well, I am resonating a little anger and whatever is there because I
nice
want to
catch. That's awesome. Good catch.
There's something I actually want to communicate with regard to what you and Dr. Tim are speaking about, and I am resonating to something that I heard on the radio today. And it just became very clear to me, this person had written a book on what is happiness, basically, and he was attempting to say all this scholarly stuff about happiness, and he brushed over Yeshua's life as, well, some people choose suffering because it's for a higher good, so that must have been his happiness, and it's just so many misconceptions. And so I was sitting on my little pulpit, preaching in my mind with the who's in there with me about it, which that's part of what I wanted to say. There's so many things that I've learned from you, Michael. I never knew that the contents of my mind were just my contents and could be seen as from what I say. And when you called me on that year ago that you were first here and I was new to your work, that just stunned me. So and it's powerful. It's changed my life. And the who's in there with me, you know, I don't pay so much attention to it. And so what was going on today was I was seeing how people were calling in and agreeing and asking questions, and how our culture has things set up to see someone who has written a book as an authority. And then if they're not happy, like this guy was saying, he was saying, well, some people just aren't happy, you know. It's like pseudoscience where they go out and statistically observe whatever people tell them about their happiness, their state of happiness, and then they just form conclusions on those statistics without looking at any root cause or common bond or anything. So I know, you know, I've been looking at weaning myself from this particular radio show because all I do is dialogue in my mind, you know, that I have higher truth and I sure wish you knew it, you know. And rather than, you know, just listening to that and debating in my mind, it'd be much more effective use of my time and energy to do more of this work and see where it leads me, because I'll always be used in a way that I can share this truth. So I'm awakening to that. I'm awakening to moving out of my home, which is so comfortable to me. I'm having to grieve and release. And as I do that, I know why I'm asking myself to let go is because I want to do this work more, and I am tied up with too many encumbrances, you know, with regard to this home and this area that I live in and everything. So I'm just questioning what is it that I really want and how simply I can live when that is all I want and just let go of all this excess. So it's powerful and
I hear you.
And happy. for me, actually, even though I do go through grieving and all these other resonances, because these resonances are coming up to show me, you know, what's in the way of me doing what I truly want and being who I truly am. So, there you
go. So I hear you loud and clear. I hear you loud and clear. And let me see if I understood. So you've been reading a book and or listening to a radio show that this person is on that's doing this talk about happiness, and you're realizing that being with that radio show is not productive in your time, and that when you listen to his conclusions based on what you consider to be pseudoscience, that brings anger up for you. Is that kind of an accurate picture of what you just told us?
Yes, the contents of my mind, I've become angry with myself for, you know, it's only for a few moments. I mean, I do see through it. But yes, I do become angry with myself for subscribing yet again to something that seems like it's intelligent at first.
So my suggestion to you would be that you maybe do some worksheets around how you have taken flimsy as evidence pseudoscience and come to conclusions about yourself, about your life, and maybe that would be a productive, seeing as how that mirror is reflecting back to you to the point where it brings up anger for you, then that mirror, that person doing what you consider to be so, and it may be true and it may not be true, it really doesn't matter, if that's your construct of it, that's your perception of it, and that brings up anger, then as you start canceling your goals, you know, what is it you would want from this author? You'd want him to have better scientific evidence. You'd want to have him have more accurate conclusions. You'd want, you know, I'd be looking at what are the goals that I want that I hold for him, and then I'd be canceling those goals and looking at the goals that I hold for myself in those pathways and canceling those, and probably there'll be a whole other level of healing.
Oh,
so you're right on track. It's good. Yeah.
Great opportunity, huh? Good.
Yes, definitely. And
yes,
I acknowledge you for how quickly you just, I mean, the words didn't get 2 inches out of your mouth and you went, oops, that's my speech. Ah, this is my anger. That's pretty cool. And I remember a time when it wasn't so. I remember when I was out there the first time and, you know, fortunately I got away with my head attached, but there were moments where it was questionable. That was a fun journey, a fun time, and I look forward to the next time we get back out to Ashland and get to teach again. That'd be cool.
Yeah, well, we're getting close, and I do have a support group. And Dr. Tim, I heard you saying how valuable it can be to be in one or lead one or host one. And I just feel myself maturing into a higher commitment, and I'm trusting whatever that is. I don't know yet, but I mean, I've only had a couple of meetings, and I only have two women, and they haven't even met each other yet. It's pretty sporadic, but like over the weekend, I needed to do a worksheet because a lot was coming up for me, and so I called this one woman who hasn't even been yet, and I said, can you use a friend? I need one. Let's get together and do this work. I'll introduce it to you today, and she was open to that because it was just so honest, and it was valuable for me and her, I'm sure. So anyway, thank you. I'm sure you probably have some other callers, but I do want to get you out here. And actually, Michael, I still feel that I'll be getting you on this radio show that I was talking about where they interview authors quite frequently. Because they are
cool.
A very progressive, conscientious radio station. They are affiliated with public radio, and they have their own station here, and they're just and they're all set up. They've got a bunch of regular callers and a huge listener base, and I hold that vision still. And I'm sure you could do it.
Awesome. Well, approach them, put it out, and, you know, we do lots of radio interviews by phone. And so that would be fabulous, and if they have that kind of listener base, then that might be part of what would help to get the energy moving to to get us back out in that direction, get enough energy rolling to do that. And Dr. Tim, any input or advice for Julie on support group? I know that I've done, Julie, back years ago, I used to do a weekend lecture, a teaching process. It was 23 hours over a period of a weekend, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. I've done that for two people, 23 hours of lecture for two people. So having one or two people in your support group, that's an awesome place to start. You know, it was this fellow 2,000 years ago that said, two or more gather, my energy's there to support you. So go for it.
Mm-hmm, thank you. I trust that. Any thoughts, Dr. Tim? Complete.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is that exactly what you just chimed in with, Michael, is it's the thing that's helped this work for pushing 10 years now with me is I just keep showing up every Tuesday. And as we've mentioned on the show before, there are times when there are 14 or 15 other people there. Last night we were blessed because we had a special guest coming in from out of town. We had 25 people there, but many times in the past 9.5 years, there's been me alone or me and one or two people. And I have had comments from people who were there when it was just me and them for the entire 2.5 hour group session that for them that was the best group session they ever had. So that's my input is just make the commitment and make it happen. Just show up. It's like what Michael talks about with Ruka Dacuja. There's this and Tuvahu in that three-part word that says there's a latent neurostructure implanted in you by God whose purpose is to break off the errors of your thought and the effects of the errors of your thought and guide you to truth and happiness if you just ask it to. So if you show up on your scheduled weekly support group night and ask when you do your worksheets to be shown the hidden part of your mind, watch what happens. It's magical. Or what would seem to our egoic mind is magical, but it's really our true nature. It's how we're supposed to be functioning in every moment.
Well, Tim, it sounds like, you know, if you got somebody taking notes on Tuesday nights, they'd end up with a book called Tuesdays with Tim. That'd be cool. That'd be powerful.
That's a good one. I'm going to have to go, you guys. I'll be listening, but thank you.
Blessings. Lots of love, Julie.
Mm-hmm. You too.
So our calling number is 646-200-4169. If you have a question for us and you're in the phone queue, if you push 1, that'll put a hand up. Jeannie will see your hand go up and introduce you by your phone number. If you're in the chat room, of course, you can ask questions there if you're a member, and membership is a simple thing. It doesn't cost anything. You just need to go through a registration process, and then instead of just watching in the chat room, you can actually interact and ask your questions. So, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or anybody with a hand up? Well, then, let's go back and talk a little bit more about this topic of law that sort of started out the show, and recognize that the willingness to take the time that it takes to learn how to operate the most complex device in the universe is probably going to be the same kind of willingness that it takes if you want to become a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or whatever. You know, it's interesting. People will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to go do medical school, but they've only got $5 and 5 minutes to learn how to operate their own mind and body. The technology is known. The culture is known for how to do that. However, cultures are transferred through words And when the definitions of words are changed, then, you know, from one, oftentimes the difficulty going from one generation to the next, the parent says, why are our children not accepting and living within our culture? Well, one of the reasons is because the definitions of many words of the culture have been changed. And until you have accurate definitions for words, you can't transfer a culture from one person to another, because that culture is transferred by words. And so that's been one of the major focuses for the last 45 years in developing this work, is going back to, you know, here's a guy that has exhibited what I consider to be the highest level of wellness on planet Earth. I mean, they shred his body to pieces. He picks up the pieces over 3 days, puts it back together, and comes back in full form, full function. That's pretty high-level wellness. And if you'd like to have that in your life, then you're going to have to go back, and he gave total full instructions for how to do that. You know, you'll remember that he says, the things I do, you can do in greater. So he gave full instructions. But if you don't have the instructions, you can't recreate the experience. If you don't have the instructions for the culture he was working to create, if you don't have accurate definitions, and there's so many, Tim started out and gave us an example that that Dale used last night, where Satan has become this dude with the red suit, the tail, and the pitchfork. So what's everybody doing? Looking out there for the problem when the problem was within. I mean, even Pogo knew. We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. It's inside of us. So Satana in Aramaic, it's the resistor, one who misleads. When we go into resistance for being responsible for our lives, then we're stuck in Satan, and our mind gives us a whole lie, a whole story about how, why I'm experiencing this is all somebody else's fault. Well, until you break that one down, you can't understand how to operate within a true structure. You've got a false structure you're working with. We're told by the Greeks that he said, well, the first law is you got to love the creator and you got to love your neighbor. Well, that's totally false. Stop loving the creator. Stop loving your neighbor. That's not what it said in Aramaic. In Aramaic, the word was rachma. It's a filter in the frontal lobes of the brain that allows your mind to only access intentions stored in your brain that are keyed to love, and it's a gateway for your human life. So that instruction, if you want to create a culture that's based in what he taught, that instruction says, be the presence of love when you think of the creator, when you think of neighbor. And neighbor means anybody that you think about. And by so doing, you will maintain your own human life. It didn't say love God, neighbor, as self. So until you've got the words, you can't understand what was being taught. And so men who didn't understand what was being taught, men who fell into the Greek interpretation and pathway, made up all sorts of things. Sadly, in many cases, based in fear, hostility, grief, rage, inflicting pain on little kids, exactly the opposite of what the one who set up the structure did. He said, woe unto you who would defile one of these little ones. And yet you watch these people who preach into the head of this little being that's the offspring of love, made in the image and likeness of love, that they're sinners. How crazy is that? How bizarre is that? And when people buy that, their whole lives are impacted by it. And until they find a way out of that insane culture, their whole lives are pain and drama and trauma and craziness. They say words about love, but what's going on in their bodies is the pain of what's been inflicted upon them. Then you get people who, out of the Greek translation, tell you that you should forgive somebody else because you're in pain. And the whole culture's lost forgiveness because of that. So we've been taught, I'm going to let you off the hook because there's rage inside of me. If I let you off the hook because there's rage inside of me and I'm experiencing rage, have I done anything to change my rage? No. If you go back to the Aramaic language, the word forgive speaks of a tool for removal of things like rage, of fear, of sadness, of grief, of pain, of drama and trauma. And so the words of the original language filtered through the Greek filter, then through the Old English to modern English,
loses most of what was being taught. If you listen to this man, Yeshua, he says, if you do what I'm telling you to do, if you follow these instructions, you will love those who hate you, do good to those who despitefully use you, and everything that I do, you can do in greater. As he says will happen. Why isn't it happening? Why is it that people follow him, think that you can still pick up a gun and kill somebody and call it holy and justified and right? How does that happen? It doesn't make sense. And it's because the meaning of the words have been lost. So a great deal of energy and time. That's why I was talking about or mentioning earlier that, you know, somebody probably isn't going to go out and reinvent the culture. I've spent 45 years in ferreting out the original meanings of these words and understanding how to apply the tools that were taught. Not many people are going to take full time 45 years to do that. And not many people have that kind of time. So take the tools and don't believe anything that I've got to say. Don't believe a word that Dr. Tim says, or Dale Hoffman, if you don't believe a word he says. Take the tools that each of us offers you, put them to work in your life, and watch what happens. What will happen is, if you'll follow the words that describe the tools, you'll have a direct experience of you and everyone around you being the active presence of love. Then, once you've had a taste of that, your work will be reestablishing yourself in that presence of love 24/7, 365. That's the culture we're looking to create. That's the culture that Yeshua tried to create 2,000 years ago. You don't create that culture by telling people they're sinners, by telling the people how they're going to threatening them and keeping them in fear. In fact, you go back into the Old Testament, it says very clearly, fear is a commandment of men. You don't get people to love by scaring the hell into them. You get people to function as love by introducing them to who they are, by introducing them to forgiveness, by introducing them to the breath. And when they breathe, they get the direct physical experience of the presence of love. Then human life begins. Then we start to have a chance, and then the battle of Armageddon begins. The old fear-based mind wants to argue with the love-based mind. And what we're looking to do, literally, with this work, is to convert every mind, heart, and being on the planet. Now, the non-being world has a cheap copy of conversion, and the conversion, the cheap copy is, I want to convert you and bring you into my church. We're not interested in you entering our church. Nothing to do with it. Conversion that we're talking about is to convert, if you have a hostility or fear-based mind, back to a love-based mind. That whatever stresses you experience, whatever's going on in your world, that you function with a mind plugged into love rather than plugged into hostility or fear. It is the most natural mind in the world for you. You came into the world with that mind. Just hold a newborn child. You know exactly what you came in with. You came in with that connection to that awesome presence of love. The world started to put its thumbprints on you, and if you live in the standard mindset of the culture, you lost that connection to love. You talk nice words about love, and you say words to somebody like, I love you, but you don't experience in your physiology that you are the active presence of love. You experience the picture in your mind that was given to you by your church, by your family system, by your culture. And all that needs to be forgiven if it's not based in love. To get back to the direct experience of the, literally, in the cellular structure, the active presence of love experienced in every cell 24/7, 365. That's what we're designed for. And that's what we're here to support you experiencing. Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room? Or anybody with a handout? Well, where is everybody, Tino? Certainly, if I were standing on a platform and I just shared what I shared, and I got down off that platform, you'd be rushing over to ask a question. What's your question? Now, if you're nervous, oh, gee, my voice might be a little bit shaky. I'm on the radio. I don't know if I can do that. Let go of it. Take a breath. Push one and ask your question. What about what I just said doesn't make sense? Or what do you need to know about what I just said to make it make total sense and to be usable for you? And that's the kind of thing we're here to support. That's the kind of thing we're here to understand. That's the kind of thing we're here to teach deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper levels of our own minds. You know,
Tim, Jeannie, and I are students, just like you are. We're moving at our own pace through our own process. And we had the recognition that the way to be a teacher of this work, or a student, a real student of this work, is to teach it. And the gift of that is just monumental. And so if you don't have a support group wherever you are, then we invite you to start one. They're called Mindshifter Support Groups. Jeannie has put lots of information on the website for how to run a support group. So we suggest you look at that information and start a support group, even if it's you and one other person, even if it's just you. Start to work with it. Invite somebody to come and join you. And the kinds of healings that take place in those support groups are absolutely monumental, beyond comprehension. And so, what's your question? How can we support you? If you push one, a hand will go up in the control panel, and Jeannie will say, "We've got a hand up." Oh, we've got a hand up. I just saw her index finger go. Let's say hello.
Hello.
Area code 917. You're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Mindy from New York.
Hi, Mindy. Welcome. How can we support you?
You can support me by telling me how this works, because for the past 2 years, I have completely changed. I had a near death, but that's not the point. The point is that I completely changed my way of thinking. And so internally,
yes,
for 2 years, I'm changing. Now it's,
yes,
just getting started to come out externally. How guaranteed,
mm-hmm,
am I that that's going to change for the better? Because it's in limbo, but it's just turning over. I have no experience yet with that part.
Well, here would be my input. First of all, when you have what the world calls a near-death experience, what you've actually had is a near-life experience. In my experience over the years in working with people, the average person, as far as their human life goes, and I don't know if you were on the show and we talked about how we define a human life, but if you've ever held a newborn child and you were to describe the essence of the newborn, that would be human life. Most,
mm-hmm,
of us lose that by the age of 4. And when the stress is up and the chips are down, especially, we become hostility and fear-based beings rather than love-based beings. When,
yeah,
one goes, and all of the information that keeps us out of the awareness of ourselves as love is stored in this body-mind unit, which was called carbon-based, or which we call carbon-based memory. And when the carbon-based device shuts down, that is, clinical death occurs, then all of the noise stored in it is shut off, and you get a near life experience. You get to experience,
mm-hmm,
who you are as the awesome presence of love. Does that describe your near life experience?
Perfectly.
Yes. So now when you come back, if you want to get a bird's eye view of this whole process, I suggest you jump online and search for the DVD. There are some sites that say there are no DVDs, but there is, at least last time I looked, there was one site in Canada that had a DVD of a movie, and you can also, of course, buy the book. But the movie is pretty cool and pretty well done, called Saved by the Light. It's,
mm-hmm,
a true story of Danion Brinkley.
Oh, Danion, yes.
And Danion, you're familiar with Danion?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Have you seen his movie?
Many years ago when it first came out. My question,
okay,
is, the internal change is done. Not done,
yes,
of course, it's never done. How guarantee,
yes,
am I of the external from it?
Well, that's why I was suggesting that you watch Saved by,
why,
the Light,
okay,
because
Danion
Brinkley has the near-life experience. You know, here's a guy who was a hired government killer, and Danion has said to me, "Michael, if somebody gives me a piece of paper, gave me a piece of paper with a name on it, they were dead, and I liked my job." And I really admire Danion in that in the movie, he really allows him to show what a rotten SOB he was as a kid, as a young man. And then he's struck by lightning. His I believe he went into clinical death for 28 minutes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes back, here's what he's told, something so uncharacteristic he comes back with. "I was told that we are powerful spiritual beings and love makes,
mm-hmm,
the difference." So here's the message,
and the mindset Danyon comes back with. And then comes his battle of Armageddon, and it sounds like you're in your battle of Armageddon. And that's the battle between what's still stored in the mind, carbon-based memory, the past, and the truth that he now knows from experience. And so Daniel
right.
goes through all kinds of hell
mm-hmm.
to start
mm-hmm.
to bring it out into his external life. People who knew him as the nasty Danyon Brinkley, he goes to with love and wants to make amends with them, and they're not interested. In fact, one of them whacks him in the head with a 2x4, literally. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he goes through this battle because people can't imagine that he's changed so much. There's a point at which he gives up. But because he's had such a powerful experience, he can't just quit. His his old mind is still there telling him the old stories. Here's the guarantee. If you keep moving toward the light, then you will win. You
I
will
love
bring
it.
That into full fruition in your physiology, in your relationships. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to be happy with you. You know, when people start to do this work, and, you know, clinical death is a way to really do a huge piece of work. I don't usually suggest to people that they go out and pursue that because it's a little risky.
But it does
but,
work.
But as
it
you engage
well.
In, yes, mm-hmm. as you engage in the forgiveness process, you're doing exactly
yeah.
the same thing. You're just doing it over a longer period of time. And what my experience is that there are four things that will happen as you come out different than the old self as the true being that you are as love. And that is, there'll be people who look at you and say, wow, that looks so cool. That looks so good on you, and I want some. That's the first response.
Mm-hmm.
The second response is, you know, that looks really cool for you. I'm glad for you. It's obviously working, and I support you, but I'm not interested. Second response.
Mm-hmm.
Third response is, I am so peeved that I can't control you anymore, and you won't play the old games we used to play, that I'm going to crank up the heat to try to force you back into the old self. That's the third response.
Yes.
And then the fourth response is, there's just no resonance here. You know, I don't identify with you anymore, and I'm out of here. And that's
mm-hmm.
exactly what Danyon went through. He was in a relationship with the wife, with a wife who was always complaining about what he was doing because he was such a rough character. But then when he turns to this thing of love, she doesn't know how to relate to him, and she ends up leaving him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I
because now he's doing what she always thought she wanted. Pardon me, go ahead.
A couple of weeks after the man death, I left my relationship because, you know how you said in the beginning, he was taught, I was taught a lot. And the main thing
yeah.
was, your life will go in the direction of your thoughts. So,
yes, exactly.
Now I'm responsible. And everything I knew
yep.
that was bad for me was my responsibility. So
yeah.
I did do that. And a lot of people ran,
yeah.
you know, ran away or left me, which was fine after, you know,
yep.
friends, family. I don't care. I feel good about
right.
that. But it's yep. the physical manifesting that hasn't happened. It's so on the edge.
Cool.
Like I've been given a business offer, but it didn't go through. And in the past, they'd always crash and burn. So now I'm going to get to see the physical manifestation. But for 2 years, I followed instructions. And I learned a lot
yep.
over there. And I worked on forgiveness and
cool.
love. And I have seen
I'll tell you
that,
what.
Actually.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to need to interrupt you because we're down to about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm
okay.
going to need to close. But I'd love to continue the conversation tomorrow. I think this would be really wonderful for everybody that listens to the show. So
what
I appreciate
you
calling.
Tomorrow?
Hope we'll hear from you. One till 2 o'clock, 5 days a week. So we'll look forward to that. And I have to say goodbye. Everybody, bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.